So the scripture today, as we prepare for a time of Holy Communion, comes from Acts, the first chapter, and we will be looking at verse 14. Acts, the first chapter, verse 14. And so we hear these words. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Let us pray. God, again, we are honored to be in your presence as the body of Christ. We pray now that as your word goes forth, that it would accomplish that which you want it to do. Lord, we remember, and I remember as a pastor, we don't stand before the cross, we stand behind the cross. The cross goes before us. Now speak to us now as we proclaim your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start out this morning by just a story. Now, before I begin that story, we need to recognize, and you know that in my time of prayer, we talked about transition. And this whole story is about transition in the life of Jesus and of his disciples. And so I want to share with you a story that I think ties into this, and then we'll go from there. This story came out of Reader's Digest, by the way. Not long before her famous father, Johnny Cash, died, singer Roseanne Cash went through a 26-month period where she could not sing, if any of you know Roseanne Cash. She had lost her voice. Now, think about it. Here's a country music singer who's lost her voice, very famous. Maybe some of you read this article. In fact, she could barely talk above a whisper. The cause was a large polyp that had developed in her throat. Her doctor concluded that the polyp was related to hormonal changes Roseanne had experienced in going through a pregnancy and then nursing her son. Advising her against surgery, the doctor said the polyp would eventually go away on its own. Once she stopped nursing the baby. Not wanting to cut short the nursing, Roseanne accepted the prognosis of the doctor. How about that, Johnny? She accepted the prognosis of the doctor. We always think we know better, don't we? She accepted the prognosis of the doctor and continued nursing her son for several months. Though she said that it was hard not being able to sing him lullabies. Imagine that, moms. I sing to my grandsons all the time. Sing to my babies. You know, I'd sing the hymns. It always seemed to work. You know, we'd sing those great hymns of the faith or some song, and they just go right off to sleep. Not all the time, but many times they would do that. But imagine that, moms. So here is how she described her reaction to losing her voice. Suddenly, she said, here was this huge hole in me. Who was I without my voice? What was I going to do with the rest of my life? I was propelled into a pretty classic identity crisis. Maybe some of you are in those today, or have you been there? I felt the profound sense of loss and sadness that permeated everything. I had truly grown into being a singer, but I had no realization of that until I lost it. I made up my mind that if I ever got my voice back, that I was going back to singing. I was going to find out what it was to be truly joyful when I am singing. And of course, this came from the story I told you about. And that is what happened. 6 months after she stopped nursing, her voice returned. She not only put out a new album, but also persuaded her father, who was then in his final illness, to record a duet with her, a song about mortality called September When It Comes. Now, I want to talk to you, I want to move from this now to what she was talking about this hole in her heart, in her life. Transition happens in life. It happened with the disciples. Right before this verse in Acts 1:14, Jesus had been on the Mount of Ascension. He was there on Mount Olivet. And he gave his disciples a command. He told them to go and that they were to wait for the Holy Spirit, that it would come. And so when, as he prepared now to descend into the clouds, all the disciples, 11 of the disciples were gathered around. Remember, one of them had killed himself. Judas was not there. They had all gathered around, and they were watching Jesus go up into the clouds. Hey, that would be something to watch. That would be quite an event. And they were so taken up by this event, and any of us in here would have been. They were so taken up by this event that they were just, you know, they were in awe. They couldn't move. Because here was their leader. Here was their teacher who was all of a sudden being taken away from them. This happened, by the way, 40 days later after the resurrection. And what do you suppose they were thinking in their minds and hearts when they see their teacher and master and leader being taken up into heaven? You just sit there. They didn't know what to do next. And then the scripture tells us that two people in white robes appeared on each side of them and said to them, "What are you doing here? You got work to do. It's time for you to move on. What did Jesus tell you to do?" And so we're told that they moved from that place, they went back to Jerusalem, and they were there in the upper room. Probably the same room where they had the Lord's Supper with Jesus. We are told, the scriptures tells us, that there were more people there than just the 11 disciples. The scriptures tell us that there were women there. Some people believe there was probably maybe 100 or 20 so people who gathered in that room. And then the scriptures tell us that they devoted themselves in one accord to prayer. I can't think of any better thing to do, can you? When all of a sudden this major change is happening in their lives, what do you do next? What happens when we go through those kinds of turmoils and difficulties in our lives? What do we do? How do we respond to it? I think prayer is a good way, don't you? You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Prayer is a good way. Prayer is our secret weapon that we have as the body of Christ. It is a gift that God has given to you and to me. When nothing else will work, when no other means of trying to solve or fix a problem will do. We have the gift of prayer. What do you do? Roseanne Cash, in her story, says, you know, I felt like I had a hole in my heart. All of a sudden, everything that she had known and believed in, the very thing that provided her and her family with a living, was gone. Her singing voice. What was she to think? Can you imagine all the things going through her mind? And I can tell you, a few years ago, when I had a detached retina in my own eye, and I could hardly read or read anything, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And the surgeon said, you know, I can only do what I can do. And we'll see what happens. It crossed my mind that as a preacher and as a teacher, I might not be able to read again like I used to. And thoughts like that went through my mind. Well, what am I going to do? What will happen from this point on? God, in His grace and technology and the skill of that surgeon, gave me back my eyesight in that eye. So I no longer was seeing things, you know, that were, I call it cattywampus, upside down. And those thoughts ran through my mind, just like they did with Roseanne Cash. She was told to wait. That was all I could do, was wait. That was the instructions that came to me. We got to wait now and see what happens. The disciples were told, you go back and wait. We don't like to wait, do we? We live in a world that's a fast-paced, moving, dynamic sometimes, busy place. And because of the age of electronics and everything is boom, boom, boom right now, you know, we have microwaves, we have computers, we have all these things, punch a button and zap. And we don't like to wait. None of us in here like to wait. Many of you know, matter of fact, when I went in the service years ago, somebody says, well, all you're going to do is hurry up and wait. And that's the truth. You get to somewhere to hurry, you get there, and you have to wait. It was a major time of transition. Not only for Jesus, for the disciples, but for the church and what was going to happen afterwards. They'd better be in prayer. They had no clue what to do next. And maybe some of you may find yourselves in that kind of place in your life. You've asked that question of yourself before. What do I do next? How do I go about putting my life back together? Jesus has given the disciples a major responsibility. You go back. You go and wait. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends, and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's quite a task, isn't it? Imagine hearing that. You're one of 11 disciples, and you hear that kind of task, that kind of responsibility is thrown upon you. How do you do it? Who do you hire? Who do you talk to? What consulting firm do you go to get to help you do that? Who are the experts we go to? Who are you going to go to? Jesus says to them, wait. Sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's all we can do. And wait on God's almighty and powerful Spirit to guide our lives and teach us what the next steps are going to be. The disciples were a pretty close-knit group. Jesus had kept them, you know, within a 100-mile area. They had no clue what was waiting on them in the outside world or how to go about bringing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And we are there. We're there as a body of Christ, and we're there as pastors and their families. We are there in our own personal lives. Whether you're moving from kindergarten to first grade, or from junior high to high school, or from singleness to being married, or from being parents without children to parents with children, of going from infancy to childhood to middle age to being elderly, things changed, and none of us like it, do we? Things changed, and none of us like it. It changed for the disciples. Change can be good. What if the disciples would have said, you know, what if they would have said, the past was what had led up to Jesus. You know, what if they had said, well, you know, we want to live back there in the past with Jesus when he was with us all the time. And we're just not going to move from this place to the next. What if they'd have said that? What if we had said that in our own lives? What if we said that? We wouldn't get much accomplished, would we? We would have no clue as to what God has waiting for us on the other side. And change is difficult. Transition is difficult. But Jesus Christ has given us the gift of His Spirit to move us from this place to the next place, and we have to trust what His Word calls us to do. Roseanne Cash trusted the instruction her doctor gave her, and her body healed itself, and she was able to move from that place to a totally different place and continue with her singing and her career. I have a hole in my heart. Many of you do too. It's there for different reasons. Mine is there because we're moving from something we've known and loved and cared about. And you will be moving too. But God, Jesus, we have to trust the Holy Spirit. If Jesus hadn't transitioned from physical to spiritual, if He hadn't taken on a new person, we wouldn't have the opportunity to take part in Holy Communion today. So Jesus transfers His power and presence into the life of His disciples and His followers. And they transferred that spiritual energy and life to the whole world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today if they had not taken, waited, and then obeyed what Jesus told them to do. sometimes we have to listen to the instructions, don't we? And follow it. And rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us where we need to be and how we need to get there. Jesus Christ changes lives. The Holy Spirit changes lives, changes people. Has He changed your life? What kind of hole do you have in your heart today? And how will that hole be mended? Only Jesus can do it. And His Spirit can do it. Let us pray. God, as we prepare now for a time of Holy Communion, we are reminded that just as You gave Yourself for us through the body and blood, that we are to give ourselves for others. Fill us now with Your grace and mercy as we prepare for a time now to feast on the bread and to feast on the cup that You have given for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.